Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope you'll listen each Sunday morning as we endeavor to open up the pages of God's wonderful book, the Bible. We also encourage you, following this radio program, to take a look at our TV program on Public Access Channel number 6, entitled Searching the Scriptures. It will air from 8 to 8:30. We encourage you to watch it and hope that it will be helpful. We also ask you to check out our website, churchofchristatharrisburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's holy and divine word. We are looking at things to answer the question, why? Why we believe certain action is necessary. This morning, we want to examine the question, why is Bible study necessary? Do we really understand why it's necessary that we need to study the Bible in our lives? Yes, we can all quote and read 2 Timothy 2:15 many times, but do we really understand what the passage is teaching us? The passage says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Paul says that the Christian must approve himself to God. How is this accomplished? How can one not be ashamed of the truth? Answer, by studying and dividing it. How will the task be accomplished? Study, study, study. Do you know your scriptures? Are you familiar with the Bible? God created the world in how many days? How many days did it take God to create the world? Well, if you said 6, that'd be right, but where would you get the answer? Genesis chapter 1 and 2. How many days were Noah and his family in the ark? That account is in Genesis 6 through 9, but Noah and his family were in the ark 375 days. He went in when he was 600 years old in the second month on the 17th day, and he came out, according to Genesis 8, 14 and 15, 601 years old in the second month on the 27th day. So he stayed in there 375 days. Could you name the 12 sons of Jacob, who later became the 12 tribes of Israel? That's recorded in Genesis 29, 30, through chapter 31, and verse 35 and 18. Leah had Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. Rachel had Joseph and Benjamin. Belial had Dan and Naphtali, and Zelpher had Gad and Asher. Those 12 sons would become the 12 tribes of Israel. Do you know how many sons did King David have? Well, you'd have to do a little research into that, but according to the Bible in 2 Samuel 5 and verse 13, he had 20. And then he had other sons and daughters, which are not named. We also know, what must one do to be saved? Could you take the Bible, if someone would come up and ask you that, could you tell them what you need to do to be saved? The Bible's very clear on that. You have to hear the word of God, according to Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing. You have to have faith. Jesus said, unless you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sin. John 8:24. And you must repent. The time of ignorance, God once winked at, but He commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Acts 17:30. You must confess His name. Romans 10:9-10. With the heart man believeth unto salvation, but with the mouth confession is made. And we must be baptized in water, as we discussed last week, in order to contact the blood of Christ, Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. And then we must remain faithful, as we discussed when we talked about the false doctrine of once saved, always saved, where Revelation 2, verse 10 says, to be faithful unto death, and you will receive a crown of life. Thus, that is the gospel plan of salvation. Could you take your Bible? Could you tell someone that's what they must do to be saved? Why don't we observe the Sabbath day? Some people do. Why is that wrong? Why is it wrong to observe the Sabbath? Well, because we're not under the old law. That law was given to the Jews. It was a national law. And that law was nailed to the cross, according to Colossians 2, verse 14, and taken away. And why doesn't the Lord's church have instrumental music? We looked at that a few months ago. Why don't we have music? Is it because of our tradition? Is it because we don't like them? No, it's because it's not authorized. because the Bible tells us the same. In Colossians chapter 3 and in Ephesians 5:19, 1 Corinthians 14:15 will tell us that the mode of music that God prefers is singing. Therefore, we sing. That's how we know, by studying and rightly dividing the Bible. The danger of not knowing. What's the danger of not knowing? The danger of not knowing is that you could make a mistake and you could be led in away into error. Notice the words of Jesus in Matthew the 22nd chapter and verse 29 through 30, when some men were trying to trap Jesus in his teaching by giving him a hypothetical question. And he said in verse number 29, Jesus answered and said to them, "You are mistaken, not knowing the scripture nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like the angels of God in heaven. Therefore, they were mistaken." Error means they were mistaken. They were led to misunderstand about the marriage and about the resurrection. There's no flesh and blood in heaven, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50 and 51. Marriage is a fleshly relationship. It will not be so in heaven. And so they did not understand the scriptures. When the Greek word error is used, it means to cause to stray, to lead astray, to lead away from the side. Not knowing the Bible makes one a target for the devil and the false teacher. Could cause us to live our lives in a way that would be displeasing to God, all the while claiming to love Him and be one of His children. A lack of knowledge can be spiritually fatal. Bible study builds faith. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We must know what we believe. Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God." This is why Paul preached the truth to the jailer in Acts 16:29-32. He needed to believe. Believe what? He needed to believe the Word of God. To believe in something, you must possess the knowledge of something. Studying God's Word will build up your faith in Him and in that Word that He gave through the work of the Holy Spirit. Our faith drives our obedience to His will. Studying answers the important questions, tells us what to believe, why we need to believe it, how to practice my faith, and the benefits of my faith in here and in throughout all eternity. Bible study shows us how to live our lives. It shows us that we must live our life in accordance with God's will. We must live soberly, righteous, and godly in this present age, according to Titus chapter 2 and verse 12. According to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and verse number 16, the Bible says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness' sake." Doctrine is the teaching and instruction. Reproof tests, improves, or convicts. And correction is to restore to the right state. That's what happens when you study the Bible. You learn those three things. But it cannot be learned without one making himself available and diligently studying that word to know how to live. It instructs us in righteousness, refers to the education or training of a person to walk in a manner that is acceptable to God. We just mentioned Titus chapter 2, that we live soberly, righteous, and godly. That's something we do. It completes us and matures us, according to Hebrews 5, verse 12 through 14. And according to verse 17 of our text, 2 Timothy 3, it says that He equips us for every good work. It completely furnishes us. The person who studies God's Word will be ready to understand which works are good and acceptable and know how to please His Master. The Word of God will show us how to live by giving you the necessary teaching and instruction, by proving and convicting you when you do wrong, showing you how to restore the relationship and enter into the right relationship again, and by educating and training us to walk uprightly in a manner that's acceptable and pleasing to God. Studying regularly, applying correctly, then we can be equipped to serve God in every area of our lives. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, the Bible says to be diligent. That means to hasten, to make haste, to exert oneself, endeavor. Effort must be spent. Bible study is hard work, and takes time and effort on our part. There are no shortcuts, ladies and gentlemen. Rightly divining, to cut straight ways, to proceed on straight paths, hold a straight course, doing right, to make straight and smooth, to handle aright, to teach them directly and correctly. God wants His children to handle the Word of God in a correct fashion. Adding knowledge to our faith, according to 2 Peter 1, verse 5, will help us to bear the spiritual fruits to His cause. We will be a valuable asset in the kingdom if we not only know God's Word, but we live God's Word, and we have the ability to teach that Word to others that they might become the kind of people that God would have them to be. Bible study promotes spiritual growth, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that they may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2, verse 2. It teaches us to put off sin and replace it with truth. We put off the old man of sin and we put on the new man that's created in Christ Jesus. Read Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. We also understand that we are expected to grow as Christians. Hebrews 5, verse 12 through 14, the writer rebuked those Christians in that passage because they had not grown sufficiently, but they had need of others coming in and teach them again the first principles of the oracles of God. Why? Because they had not exercised their senses to discern both good and evil. 2 Peter 3 verse 18 says that we must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We must grow. We will never reach a point of being a teacher unless we study faithfully. Without proper Bible study, you will never be able to be a teacher of God's Word. We cannot teach what we do not know. Study help gives us spiritual stability, according to Ephesians 4:11 through 15, because it helps fill the offices that are in the church, elders, preachers, and teachers. It equips the saints. It gives us the work in the ministry, and it also edifies the body of Christ. The Bible tells us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, Philippians 2 and verse 12. Spiritual stability is needed if we're going to please God. It helps us come to the faith of unity, Ephesians 4, 3, and come to that knowledge of God, according to Philippians 3, verse 16. It makes us a perfect man, according to James chapter 1. And it helps us to understand our duty not only towards God, but our duty towards our brethren, our duty towards our fellow man, how to be a good wife or husband or mother and father, a good employer or an employee. All these things are given to us in God's Word, and it prepares us to be the kind of people that God would have us to be in order to be influenced and examples for good. You see, spiritual stability prepares ourselves that we can't be deceived or tricked. It also tells us that we are to speak this Word in love, Ephesians 4, verse 15. And we understand that the Word of God is able to build us up and edify us, according to Acts 20, verse 32. Honestly, how well do you know your Bible, dear listener? Do you study regularly? Is your faith weak or strong? Have you grown spiritually? Are you mature? Are you living the kind of life that God would have you to live? And if one wanted to know what they needed to do in order to please God, could you tell him? Or would you have to call someone else? Bible study is necessary if we hope to gain eternal life. Please study the book. Read it regularly. Thank you for listening. Tune in again next.